Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Most sexual assaults go unreported. At Sarnco, we believe, empower, and advocate for all survivors. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted and needs support, call 844-644-6435. 844-644-6435. At Sarnco, we're here for you.
Heat Nation, welcome into Believe in Miami Heat for another week. I'm Joey Levin, and I'm joined by my co-host. The champ is here, two-time NBA champion, former Miami Heat point guard, live as always from France. Bonjour, my friend. Norris Cole, welcome back once again. How you doing, man?
What's up? What's up? What's up, people? What's up, Heat Nation? Bonjour.
how's your week going? How is France treating Norris Cole since we last spoke?
Things are going well. We won another game, which is always good in the EuroLeague. We've been practicing. I've been able to, get some good rest. So all is well.
Yeah, I was wondering, actually, since we talked about the EuroLeague, like, you guys don't play. I don't know. Some of the listeners may know about EuroLeague, some may not. You don't play as often. Games are not as frequent as playing in the NBA.
We do. But this month, February is different because they have like the FIBA qualifiers. And gotcha. So with the FIBA qualifiers, the schedule changes a little bit. But no, normally we play like three games a week, which is a good amount of games.
Yeah, that's true. I was wondering more having lived in France now for a while, like, what do you do when on your off time? Like, what's it like? I mean, obviously now it's still COVID times, but what, like,
you just chilling COVID, at the bro. House? It's COVID, so I'm in the house.
Watching Nothing TV, else. Watching movies, watching shows.
Yeah, I've been talking to my friends and family back in the States.
Yeah,
cool. Gotta stay in tune, what's going on.
Watching the Heat.
Of course, keeping track.
Of course. So, all right, let's talk about the Heat. Big week. They're coming off a big week. It looked like it was going to be maybe a disaster of a week. After last week we talked, they were just coming off that Clippers loss. Then they had that loss to the Warriors, which was a disaster. You know, the Warriors came back. It was looking like it wasn't going to be great. And then they come back, they win three in a row, and things are looking up. So
that's the mental toughness. That's the toughness I was telling you about. You know, they're going to always keep working. They're going to always punch the clock in. And they brought it. Their defense, they had two back-to-back games where they held the opponent under 100 points. You give yourself a great chance to win in the NBA when you hold teams under 100, because it doesn't happen that often.
Yeah, for sure. So 4-3 on that trip. We're going to talk about that. Some guys stepping up. Like you said, the defense, there's a lot we got to get into. We're also going to get into, we do this every week now because it's the Heat and because it's that time of year. There's some guys maybe available now. Maybe there's some rumors out there. We got to talk about that. And we got a new segment. We got a new segment we're going to debut this week. We're going to do the hashtag cold-blooded, Heat player of the week. We'll talk about more. We're probably going to end the show with that. So we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But first, as always, let me tell you a little bit about our friend from betonline.ag. Now, they keep saying football might be over, but I'm going to correct our sponsors. And I don't do this much. I'm going to correct them. There is spring football going on. There is some random college football happening right now.
Absolutely.
So there is stuff to watch. There is
football. Deion Sanders just won his first game, Jackson State.
There you go. So there is football.
Shout out to prime time.
It may not be NFL, but there is football. Now, if you don't want to watch that, there is also NBA. There's college basketball. There's NHL. They're all in full swing. And, of course, the only place you should bet on them is betonline.ag. thing I'm actually keeping an eye on right now is their updated MVP odds. LeBron pulling heavy favorite right now, plus 100, which is, or plus 100, plus 150, a lot, which are really good odds for MVP. But I'm keeping an eye on it because Lakers have lost a few in a row. Anthony Davis is injured. If they struggle, I'm keeping my eye on Damian Lillard plus 2,000. The way he's carrying that team, I think he's got a shot if they can get a top four seed in the West. Keeping an eye on that. The other guy, not even on the board, Brad Beal. Keeping an eye on him too. Just saying.
Listen,
the way he's
listen. He had no chance. As great as a player he is, but
I'm just saying.
Just I don't think it's been in the history of the league a guy with a losing record. MVP.
Well, we could talk about that in a second, but hey, that's why they call it gambling. Look, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, hundreds of props like the ones I was just talking about with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine, and of course, the 24-hour online casino. So head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, all right, yeah. So the Heat come off this 4-3 road trip. Obviously, they beat Houston in that first game. Then they lose three in a row. Utah's not bad. The Clipper one's bad. Warriors is bad. Then they beat the Kings, who are a dumpster fire. They beat the Lakers, which is without even – I don't care if it's Anthony Davis because the Heat are shorthanded too. Great win against the Lakers. And then
absolutely
last game, you can attest, last game of a 7-game road trip, longest road trip in a decade, is a tough game to pull out. They beat the Thunder, who, even though Al Horford wasn't playing, or have been a tough team this year. What was your impressions of the way they were able to turn it around and finish this thing? Remember, 2 weeks ago, we said if they finish this, if they go on this road trip and go 4-3, that's great. And absolutely, they went 4-3.
Well, that just goes to show the habits, you know, the Heat way. They always believe. They always believe in each other. They're going to keep fighting. And their defense, man, I can't say enough. When you can hold back-to-back teams in the NBA to under 100 points, that's impressive, man. That's very, very impressive. And then you had some guys step up big, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, like you said, but Kendrick Nunn, Kendrick Nunn earned some money on these last three games. He really put in some major work the last three games, especially the last two. Really, all three of them, really. But
I'll go even further. The whole road trip. That's one of the first guys I wanted to talk about on the trip.
Sure, the whole road trip. But when they got the wins, though,
yeah.
When a person plays like that and they get the wins,
yep.
He averaged 18
a game on this trip. And he shot, most importantly, I'll say, shot 41% from three. And
absolutely,
the rest of the squad on this trip did not shoot the ball well. And even in these wins, they shot poorly.
They didn't shoot the ball well in the wins, even from two. It was in the low 40s.
Yep. Even in this last game, Duncan got off a little bit, which was great to see because he's been struggling. But for the most part, as a team, I think actually a two game before the last game, I even tweeted out a stat where after the first six games of the road trip, Kendrick was shooting 42% from three, and the rest of the team was shooting like 28% from three.
But the thing is, though, he was playing heavy minutes. You know, he was playing heavy minutes, so the other guys not making it didn't hurt him as bad because he was in there, you know, a lot of minutes. Like, I think the top six guys played, each of them averaged like 20, over 25 minutes. I know Nunn was playing almost 40. Bam was playing, you know, 37. Duncan Robinson was playing 36, 35. Jimmy, for the most part, played heavy minutes except for the last game against, Oklahoma City, where he only played 29. But normally he's in the 35, 37 minute, you know, range. And so those guys play heavy minutes and they produced.
Yeah. I mean, I put it even in my notes. He looks like rookie of the year candidate that we saw for the first half of last year. And when you look at last year, like obviously the record is not the same at this point from last year, but he was such a huge part of the Heat being as good as they were early on last year. So seeing him get his confidence back. Do you think, I was wondering, do you think there's something about a guy like Kendrick who is a natural scorer now knowing, okay, I'm back in the rotation. I'm going to get minutes. I'm going to get touches. And that has boosted his confidence a little bit, knowing that there's opportunities there. Like, I'm not going to get benched because I got to play and I got to score on a team where, let's face it, like, there are certain guys who are hesitant to be assertive to score.
Yeah, especially for a young point guard, confidence is key. You know, when you're young and you're trying to find your way in this league, when you know you can play and don't have to look over there, look behind your shoulder, like, oh, if I make a mistake, they're going to pull me out. Anytime you have that confidence and that flexibility, normally you play well. Most guys that have to worry about making a mistake and coming out, they don't play well. And that doesn't feel good as a young player. And I can tell you that from experience. It doesn't feel good when it's like, oh, if I miss a couple shots, I'm going to come out the game. That's not a good feeling. So right now he's playing heavy minutes. He knows the team needs him. And so he's stepping up, which is part of his responsibility as a pro. When you get those minutes and you get that responsibility, you deliver. And he's been delivering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's been – I personally, like, you know, since Jimmy's come back, his stat lines have been good. And obviously can't take anything away from the way he's playing. And we'll talk about Bam here in a second, because the way Bam has been playing is just – I mean, he's night in and night out. He has been all year. But to me – you take Kendrick, especially with Goran Dragic still being hurt, Tyler Hero, who we can talk about his injury situation. Kendrick Nunn carried, he put the team scoring wise on his back on this trip to get them to 4-3, especially in those last three games.
Well, hey, when you see that, you know, Jimmy didn't have it going every single game, and you always need more than one guy that can create off the bounce. It's hard when you play for a team when only one guy does all the creating. So he took some of the pressure off of Jimmy Butler. And he also took some of the pressure off of Duncan Robinson making those shots. And so I just think it's a beautiful thing to see that he's back to playing how he plays, man. Because before, you know, last year he had some struggles, especially coming back from COVID, you know, going through some, you know, young things as a young player goes through with the playing style, making sure he buys into the culture and all of that. So it's good to see him now just be able to get out there, play free, you know, play to his instincts. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm happy that they got those wins, because let's face it, needed those wins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to say that in February, but it's important. Those wins were very, very important.
Well, and especially like we the East and – the East is sort of wild right now. And just to put a bow on Kendrick, I was interested to know, like, cause last year when I watched him, even in the beginning of the year, my assessment of him as his long-term in this league is a Lou Will type coming off the bench, being like a microwave type scorer who can get you 20 any night, coming off the bench, being a great sixth man. Do you think he's more than that? Like, do you think he's a starting point guard, or do you think ultimately, like, his best fit, even for a team like the Heat, is being a guy who can lead your second unit, be a big scorer for you, but come off the bench?
Well, I think it depends on the dynamic of the team, to be honest. I mean, if you have a franchise type of point guard, obviously you have to play that guy. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have a franchise, you know, type of point guard, then he can start for you, you know, and he can play many roles. If you know, that's ultimately up to who the coach is and the style of play that you want to play. But he's the fact that he's capable of being a starter just lets you know his caliber of player. Yeah. And obviously the fact that he can score in bunches also lets you know that he can come off the bench and be effective. Yeah. Because some guys are just better at coming off the bench because, you know, starters, they need rhythm. Most of them, they know they're going to play a certain amount of time, so they don't have to rush their game. But when you're a guy that comes off the bench, you're like a microwave. As soon as you check in, your rhythm better be on. And so it seems like he's capable of doing both, which is makes him more valuable to our team.
And you also know, coming off the bench for a guy who is just a pure flat out scorer, you know that if you're the first guy off the bench and you're running the second unit, you're getting your touches. Like, the offense is going to run through you, as opposed to, you know, let's say Tyler develops the way we think he's going to, and Jimmy's getting his shots and Duncan's getting his shots. If you could be in the starting lineup, if you're more of a scoring point guard, but you're in the starting lineup with a bunch of other guys who need to get shots, maybe it's better for you as a fit to come off the bench. Like right now, obviously they need him to start because of injuries, but I think ultimately just seeing him get his confidence back is such a huge thing for them. And it will be down the line. There's a lot of, now that there's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of questions in Heat Nation. Heat Nation are out here saying, do we sell high? Do we get assets? Is his value high now? I don't know. I think for the amount of money he's making and what he brings to the team, and I'm still skeptical of our ability to score the ball right now, I think you need him.
Man, like the great Bill Russell once said, this game has been and always will be about buckets. And when you're a player that can put the ball in the hole efficiently from the perimeter, from the mid-range, and get to the basket, when you can do that, you're always a valuable piece. And so
totally.
I believe right now, unless you get a blockbuster deal, you have to keep Kendrick Nunn, in my opinion. Because, I mean, who else are you going to get for him?
Young. Yeah, it just depends on what you think the team really needs.
I mean, but what is it? He's young, which is good. He's athletic, which is good. He can score from all three points of the floor as a point guard, which is good. Long range three, getting the mid range with floaters, and he can get to the basket, which is good. You know, so, and he's athletic. Not just that he's young, he's athletic. Right. You know, and that's what you, so at the point guard position, when you have those things, you don't just get rid of that unless you really get fair compensation. And so I think right now he's really showing his value, and I wouldn't get rid of him unless it's a, like sort of a home run type of deal.
Yeah. I think the key there is the 3-point shooting. Like if this development as a 3-point shooter consistent, if he's high 30s, like I don't think he's a 42-43% 3-point shooter, maybe he is, but if he's a high 30s even, that's huge. Mm-hmm. Especially with this team that's so reliant on 3-point shooting. You mentioned, like, it's early in the year, right? You know, you don't want to call thing it must win, but you needed them. And the interesting thing about the Heat now, after these 3 wins in a row, they've won 7 of 10. Like, that 3-game losing streak on the West Coast road trip seemed so dire, and things seemed like they were headed in such a bad direction. But now they've won 7 of 10. They are heading into a game against Toronto, who's also playing really well. There's only 5 or 6 games left till All-Star break. This team legitimately has a chance to go into the All-Star break as one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference, which is crazy to think.
Remember, I told you that they're not going to panic.
Right.
Remember I said Spo is not going to panic. He's just not going to just up and just do something different. He's going to keep plugging away. He's going to keep going with the system. He's going to keep believing in what they're doing. This is a process. Remember, this is a process. And you don't cheat the process by like, oh, this is not working, let's bring in a new player. Oh, this is not working, let's try a whole new system. No. That's not how it works. That's not how it works when you play for a winning championship organization. And Coach Spo is a winning championship level coach. And so he understands that this is a process, and he's trusting that process, and the players, they're trusting it too. Obviously, like you said, you know, they can go into the break as one of the hottest teams. And let me tell you, nobody wants to play them in the playoffs in the first round. Nobody wants to play the Heat from no conference the first round of the playoffs. So I think if they can keep this up and maybe, you know, get a couple additions, it could be scary going, you know, post All-Star break.
Yeah, we'll talk about potential additions in a little bit.
Yes, yes, sir.
But on the defense, right? So obviously, Bam has been consistent. Like, he's been the one constant. He's just been great. I mean, he's been really having just another All-Star level year. But particularly on this trip, his defense, and we know he's a great defensive player, but that late in the Laker game, he showed, I think, a type of defense that I don't know that most people know that Bam had, which was he was the primary defender on LeBron for a lot of the game. And LeBron had one of his worst games I've seen him play in a long time. And particularly when Bam was the primary defender on LeBron, he was 2 for 8 from the field. That's a different level of defense that I don't know that a lot of people know Bam had in him. And I think, to me, it even emphasizes even more that we need to go get more depth in the front court. But anyways, it was incredibly impressive what I saw him do against LeBron.
It was, but that's not surprising to me. I mean, That's what Bam is. He's an athletic. He's a front court player, so he can defend the centers, but he can. But he's athletic enough to where he can defend wing players as well. That's why they drafted him so high, because he does have that versatility. And, you know, when you play against a guy like LeBron James, obviously the Heat, they know a lot about LeBron, his tendencies and everything. And the way they were guarding him, having a longer defender on him and then having the help side come, is different when a smaller guy's guarding LeBron and a big is coming to help from when a bigger guy is defending him and a small comes to help. And when that, you know, bigger guy can be agile like Bam and can contest, you know, his shots at the highest point and his passes at the highest point, it makes things, you know, a little bit more difficult. Now, obviously, LeBron missed some shots too. You know, we're not going to be outrageous and say that he just totally
one. I think he was one of eight from three in the game. So
Yeah. But he did do a great job of using his length and athleticism to make everything contested. And that's what they're going to need. Yeah. And just to imagine if they had another guy in the front court similar to that, that would be, now you're talking.
That can shoot.
Yeah, now you're talking contender again.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So tonight, as we're recording this on Tuesday, the 23rd. So it's about 6:20 on the East Coast. In a couple mm-hmm. hours, the All-Star reserves are going to be named for both conferences. So obviously there's seven reserves. I have six guys that to me are locks. And
talk to me. Let's talk about it.
I don't know if Bam is a lock. And I don't know if anybody knows if he's a lock. I think he's having an all-star year. But to me, James Harden.
Lock.
Zach LaVine.
Lock.
DeMontis Sabonis.
Lock.
Julius Randle. And Jaylen Brown. That's six guys.
Jaylen Brown is a lot.
Now, here are the
Julius Randle's averaging what, 20 points? What, how many rebounds he's averaging this season?
He's averaging a double-double.
And Bam is right under a double-double, 19 and a half and 9.5 rebounds. But the Knicks, 5.5 assists.
But the Knicks are in the playoffs right now.
That's true.
And he is
he's carrying them too.
Yeah, and he's also averaging 5.5 assists. He's shooting 41% from three. It would be tough to say the guy who might be making the Knicks relevant again, almost single-handedly can't be.
Not for sure. Yeah. Those guys are a lock.
So there's one spot left and let me name some names for you. Bam. Jason Tatum, who has missed five games. So that's the thing. I don't know if the five games impact him, but they've played 30 and he played 25 and he's averaging 26. So I don't know how he doesn't make it, but Ben Simmons.
I'm going to be honest. Jason, I didn't know Jason Tatum was going. But him and Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is the second best player on the best team in the East and arguably is going to be in the mix for defensive player of the year right now.
That's true, but that's true. And both of those guys are considered superstars, NBA superstars.
Right. Middleton is in the mix. I don't think he'll make it. He's just having an okay year, but he's averaging 20. And then I've seen some people say Trae Young, but I don't think.
No.
Because he's been so inefficient this year.
Sabonis, he's considered a front court player, huh?
Yeah, but I'm not sure with the reserves. I don't think it matters. I think it's just reserves. I don't know if there's
If that don't matter, then he could be possibly
Sabonis.
Nah,
I don't know. They're fourth in the East right now.
Yeah, they are, and he's averaging 21 and 11. But I mean, Jason Tatum and Ben Simmons. I don't see an All-Star game without at least one of those guys. I mean,
I would put to me Tatum is locked, but I don't know if people are like leaving him out because he missed games, or I don't know if he's. Like maybe he's just hasn't been as efficient as usual, but he's shooting 39% from three. I don't know how Jaylen Brown. Actually, I don't know how I have Jaylen Brown as a lock and not Jason Tatum. To be honest,
yes, you can. I mean,
you think
Jaylen Brown is a lock? Jaylen Brown is definitely a lock. Jaylen Brown is playing borderline MVP type of basketball on the lower scale, but he's definitely a lock. Jaylen Brown is.
But their numbers are very similar.
Yeah, but Boston
both averaging 26.
Jalen Brown's a two-way player.
That's true. That's true.
He's and, a high-level two-way
and
player.
And he's held it down for them when Tatum was out.
Absolutely. When Kemba and Tatum have been out.
Yeah, and Kemba doesn't look good right now either. So what do you okay? Hey, so is interesting. It so that's, is it Tatum? Is it Bam or is it Ben Simmons? Because that's that last spot pretty much. Well, I mean, look at by the time people listen to this, we'll know.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
Here's the question:
Guess if I had to guess, Bam probably won't make it.
Yeah,
obviously, us in Heat Nation, we believe that he should make it, but. I don't see them not choosing Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum. I can't see that happening.
Now, the only way I could see him making it over one of those guys, or if in addition to those guys, would be if they snub Julius Randle.
Yeah, but you can't snub. He's in New York City.
I know, but like snubs happen.
Snubs do happen.
Snubs happen. Snubs That's why it's called a snub. It's the word exists for a reason.
You know? Yeah, it does this for me, but I think the coaches, don't the coaches choose the reserves?
I think so, yeah.
And see, so let me tell you something. Zach LaVine might get snubbed.
But they're playing good, too. They're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, but it's a chance. I mean, I don't think he should be. I think he should be a lock. But, I mean, when you snub – I mean, what they snubbed Bradley Beal last year, averaging 30 over 30 a game. So, anything can happen. And if the coaches are picking – the coaches value stuff other than just scoring. And so, if you talk about Ben Simmons, two-way player, he's a point forward. Jason Tatum is a superstar, like I said, in his league. And then you have Sabonis, who's the ultimate, you know, four man right now in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I mean,
that could be a snub.
I know. I think when they look at it from just a, you know, they're going to look at numbers, obviously, to see who gets in a grand scheme. They're going to look at record and who's playing the best. And a lot of that'll be numbers. And if you're looking at Julius Randle, Sabonis, and Bam, their numbers are all very similar.
Right.
Sabonis and Julius both are just a little bit better, and their teams are just a little bit better. So I think that's probably going to be the deciding factor. Unfortunately, because I think Bam is playing an all-star level season. It's just the East is wild this year. I mean, there's just a lot going on in the East right now.
Beast of the East.
There's only like a – I want to say a two-game difference between the 4 seed and the 13 seed right now. So, and that 13 seed is the Wizards, who've won 5 in a row and just beat the Lakers. So,
and this year is interesting. I don't think anyone's going to be mad if they get snubbed, because I don't think people really want to go down to Atlanta anyway and be in a bubble type situation for a weekend.
I think we talked about this the first time you were on. I think it's crazy that it's even happening, and now they're shoehorning the things that everyone wants to see, the 3-point contest and the dunk contest, and they're sort of shoehorning it into the game that no one wants to see, which is like they're doing the 3-point before the game, they're doing the dunk contest at half, there's no fans, so no one really wants to watch the – I mean, people watch the game, but people want to see the dunk contest, like, you know what I'm saying? And also the atmosphere of the dunk contest, no players taking pictures and like courtside and no fans and all that, there's no one there. It's gonna be weird.
It's going to be interesting to see how the environment, the energy of the guys, because in a regular season, in a regular game, you can be competitive because it's like you and your guys and y'all competing for like something that actually matters. But there's nothing really to in an all-star game. I mean, in an all-star game with COVID going on, with no fans, I don't see how the intensity, how the adrenaline, I don't see how I could be there. I just don't. Plus, I believe a lot of the high-level guys are not going to want to play heavy minutes. Like LeBron, you can't expect him and KD to get out there and play heavy minutes.
Right. No.
Or Giannis or anybody like that, because one, they're coming off a short season.
Yeah.
And two, these guys are like KD is championship or bust. Harden, these guys, they championship or bust. And the Lakers with no AD, LeBron's workload is crazy. So I don't see him playing that many minutes in an all-star game unless he just really – you know, tricks us.
You know what? I saw another person that tweeted something a very interesting question too. Like, it all comes down to how the league's handling a lot of these things. But when the coaches were named, there were people saying, why do we need coaches for an exhibition game during the pandemic? Like, why do we need coaches for an all-star game? Just let them go play. It's an all-star game. Like, they can coach themselves for the all-star game.
Nah. You got to have some type of structure. Now, this ain't street ball. We got to keep the integrity. But
wouldn't it be more fun for the All-Star game? Like, I mean,
player coach. Player coach.
Of course. Yeah, you're telling me LeBron James can't coach his team?
Yeah, but I mean, who wants to do that really?
No one wants to be there anyway. I mean, you're already forcing them to be there. Make it a little more interesting. True. Throw a little more money in there for them, you know?
Or just don't have it and be smart.
One last thing on the Heat before we get to some of these potential options to go out and get before we get to the hashtag cold-blooded player of the week. Jimmy did not look good in that last game. And we did discuss, obviously, last game of a set that they talked about it a lot on the broadcast. Last game, the energy's down. Jimmy specifically didn't look great. One thing that they did not mention, that they haven't mentioned much, that concerns me when I watch him in some of these games, late in games and late on this road trip, is the COVID thing, he has not publicly come out. Jason Tatum's the only player who's come out and said it impacts me at the end of games. They've mentioned how they adjust his timing so that he's not overdoing it. Jimmy's not the type. Jimmy's not going to come out and say, oh, I'm struggling. He might be saying it behind the scenes, but he's not saying it publicly. I wonder if at the end of a road trip, at the end of a game, if there's still not that little bit that maybe he's not 100% there yet.
I'm gonna tell you straight up. Yes, it's affecting him. It is, whether he admits it or not, because it's impossible for you to not be able to play and work out for 2 weeks. Or however long he was out, 16 days or so?
Yeah, and not even just not being able to work out. We don't know how it actually affects you long term. Like, we don't know how it's actually still impacting his body.
Right. Well, I saw an interview with Rachel Nichols where he said, I mean, he didn't feel sick. He didn't feel like he had any major symptoms. But to be out of work, not active, not doing your daily routine, not coming to the gym, not getting, because Jimmy's a workout warrior.
Right.
And so for him to not be able to get his workouts in and do the things that he would normally do and be away from the team and lose that rhythm, it's going to affect you. And it takes more than just a couple games or more than just a couple weeks to snap out of that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely takes more than that.
Well, hopefully he can play obviously he doesn't have a choice. He's going to have to play his way back into it. But hey, look, good to see guys stepping up around him and the Heat starting to roll. That defense is not going to change and guys starting to make some shots. Let's go. I mean, we got a shot to they could be a playoff team by the time we get to All-Star. So that'd be interesting. All right. Before we move on, I want to give a brief moment to talk to our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether rare, dead stock, or latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Are you a sneaker guy? I used to be a huge sneaker guy. I'm not a big sneaker. I'm in and out. Right now I'm out, but I'm in and out.
So this I collected. I don't even want to say collected, but I had a lot of sneakers, my first few years in the league. I gathered a big shoe collection. The last few years, I haven't been adding to that collection. So I have a decent amount of shoes, but I haven't been adding to the collection. I just wear what I have. It's hard for me to wear all the shoes that I have anyway. So
I need to change it up. I'm going to check this out. I got to check out this eBay, their marketplace. Because it's been a minute since I bought anything new. But
I'm into lifestyle shoes now. Comfortable lifestyle shoes like the Nike Cortez.
Oh, they got, I'm sure they got plenty of that.
Or the Adidas Pro models.
Yeah. So each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. For sneaker sellers, which I used to do also when I worked in the league, I sold a lot of my shoes that I got when I was in the league. eBay has eliminated selling fees, and I sold them on eBay, has eliminated selling fees on sneakers, $100+, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. All right, I'm going to just keep calling it the rumor mill. Now, some of these are rumors and some of them have already happened. So I'm going to throw some names at you and we'll see what you think.
Okay.
And I'll preface this by, look, I don't want to keep crushing the guy. And I know you don't want to either, but Kelly Olynyk finished that road trip 4-for-29 from three. Now, but I will give you a positive. I will give you a positive out of that. All three games that he made 1-3, they won. So I guess that's something.
Cup half full instead of cup half empty.
Yeah, we got it. There's going to be a lot of the cup half empty podcasts out there. We're going to be the cup half full as much as we can, the cup half full. Norris is always going to be the cup half full guy. I'm going to work to be the cup half full co-host. And that's my cup half full. When Kelly Olynyk makes a three on a West Coast road trip, the Heat wins. So there you go. But look, there's no hiding that and again, I will say it's not a knock on him. I think he's a good player. It's that they need front court depth. They need another stretch four. They need another four who can guard bigs. So these are the guys I'm going to focus on. Bigs that are potentially out there. One guy we know for a fact is out there. And also, let's preface this by saying the Heat were granted today a $4.7 million disabled player exception for Myers Leonard, who's out for the year. That's a big deal because
very big deal.
DeMarcus Cousins is available.
Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of people who think he's washed. I disagree. I've watched a lot of Rockets games this year. You can't play him 40 minutes. You probably can't even play him 30 minutes. But you put him in there for 20 minutes, he can still rebound. He was actually not his efficiency probably doesn't show it, but I don't think he wanted to be there once he realized he wasn't the starter. I think there's reports now coming out he didn't like being the backup to Christian Wood, which that is what it is. Christian Wood's playing great basketball, so what were you going to do? But I think he can still stretch the floor for you. He could play with Bam.
Shoot the three.
He could play with Bam or without Bam. He also does a lot of the same things offensively that Bam does. He's a very good passer. He's a very good ball handler. He's not the greatest defender, but he is a very good defensive rebounder.
Absolutely.
He's out there.
And he has that nasty, that chip. You know, we like guys with a little edge.
And we like redemptions.
Absolutely. Great redemption story. So that could be an interesting piece.
I also saw that most people assumed he was just going to the Lakers, but I did see something that the Lakers are not going to go after him. Now, I don't know if these are all reports, so who knows what's what.
I'm about to say, you never know until this happens.
But I feel like the Heat were in the mix for Boogie this offseason before he went to Houston. I think he'd be interesting, especially for the price. I mean, the price is right. You know, it's not going to be expensive. Plus, Houston did the right thing, and they guaranteed his full contract before they parted ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's probably a vet minimum at this point, wherever he goes.
So do you take him or Blake Griffin? If it's possible, which one do you take?
Wow. That's a great question. Assuming Blake gets bought out, because
I did see
some Vegas odds that if Blake Griffin were to get traded, the Heat were the best odds for if he got traded. I hope that doesn't happen. Because then you're taking on a lot of money and you're giving up something. Wow, that's a great question. It is a great question. I think if Boogie was willing to, if Boogie understood, like, I'm a backup, but I'm going to play minutes and maybe even crunch time minutes, I think Boogie. I think he's a better shooter at this point in his career than Blake.
He's always been a better shooter than Blake.
Yeah. And I think they do a lot of the same things. I think he's just a better shooter at this point in their careers. Like, Blake's still a better athlete. Right. But I don't know if that would translate to much more production than what Boogie could give you. And I think you could get away with having Boogie playing 20 minutes a game and it'd be really good for you.
I agree.
I just think
Boogie is just flat out tougher than Blake, to be honest.
That's fair.
And that matters in Heat culture.
Well, and it matters on a team full of guys who can't stay healthy this year, too.
For sure.
We need to bring in a guy who's gonna be on the floor. That's one of the biggest reasons. Look, go get all of them. Get all these guys.
The best ability is availability.
Totally. And that's a point I didn't really think about with Blake, because even if he's healthy, he's going to sit games. Like, that's just where he's at in his career. You know, he's one of those at this point.
Right. And right now, the Heat don't have time for that.
Right. And you know what? Boogie, to be honest, yeah, he comes here during the regular season. He might play a ton of minutes some games because of the way the injury. It's just going to be, I think the way the Heat are trending right now is game by game basis, right? Like some games it's Max Strus, some games it's Gabe Vincent, other games, sometimes it's Kelly Olynyk. And then if they next get another thing, up. It'll be the next. Yeah. So I think Spo is going to play the matchups until everyone's healthy and they know what they got. So
absolutely.
The other big name that, interestingly enough, is sort of all of a sudden there's these reports out there is that the Mavericks have quietly started to try to gauge the trade interest for Porzingis around the league.
I like that. I like Porzingis a lot. I'm a big Porzingis fan.
I love him.
I hate the fact that he's hurt a lot, but one, I think the culture coming to Miami. One, the fitness culture there is, you know, the Heat have a good training staff, but there's other great, you know, training organizations like DBC, mm-hmm. who would be great for him to you know, work out and get his body right. And the way that the Heat play with all those dribble handoffs and with spacing with three-pointers, rebounding, pushing in transition, spot up threes, I believe that fits him well. And with him and Bam, your front court is a shot blocking machine.
Yeah. Oh, and I've watched him a few times this year. It would be perfect to play him with Bam because he seems to be allergic to the paint at this point. And I do have concerns that part of that is that he's not fully healthy. And I do wonder, like, are they trying to just unload him because he's not fully healthy and they don't think he's like they mortgaged a lot to go get him from New York. He was supposed to be the centerpiece with Luka. If it's true that they're suddenly willing to get rid of him, what's the catch? Like, what's the catch?
Well,
is my question.
Well, if it is true that they're shopping him, if he's still that player that we think he is, they're going to want fair compensation. That's the only way you will know. If they don't get fair compensation, you'll be like, oh man, he's really not that healthy. They just trying to get rid of him. But if they get what they ask, if they ask for a lot, he's still pretty healthy.
And that's where, well, then that was my next question. If he's healthy and if you think he can be healthy, come to the Heat, get right, what would you be willing? I mean, you're probably going to have to give up a lot. Are you willing to give up Tyler Hero for him at this point? That's a tough one.
Yes. I mean, Porzingis is a potential superstar level player.
They called him a unicorn for a reason.
Yeah. So I believe that. I mean, if you had to, you know, then you probably would, but that's not the first option. The first option is not giving up Tyler Hero. You want to try to give up other pieces before you give up Tyler.
Well, sure.
If you believe that Porzingis is that piece, yeah. I mean, you still got Kendrick. If you can keep Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson and give up that, then you can, you know, that's okay. But if you have to give up Nunn and Hero.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
this one is the most hype of all of the ones we've talked about on this show. This one's the most hypothetical. I don't think the Heat would get in on this, to be honest. They have to give up too much. Right.
They had to give up too much. And the guys are not healthy. Like, if you're giving up guys, but then, you know, Dragic is not totally healthy. Bradley is not totally healthy. Guys, that's, you would be on a depleted roster.
Tyler's not totally healthy. I mean, he's still out with the hip injury. Like, you know, which is
so you can't.
Hey guys, I don't know. What are your thoughts? So there's three other guys. They're all smaller name guys. But I just think, like, if they're available, like, for example, the Suns just waived Damian Jones. Now, he's not a big name, right? Most people probably have never seen him play. But he won two championships with the Warriors. He didn't get to play a ton because he was a backup. He's been a backup to DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix. But just for depth, right, just bring him in and give him a shot. Give him a few minutes. See if he fits. See what you got. Like, I just think from a depth, like, go get some guys that can bolster maybe your front court a little bit. And then when we are on the road trip, I find myself doing this now every game, which is watching the other team and be like, ooh, I like that guy. So when I was watching the Kings, I really liked Nemanja Bjelica, the stretch four. Okay. And then in OKC, I really like Mike Muscala, which you probably get him for like a late, you could probably get him for a second round pick. He's having the best year of his career. He's a 7-footer, shoots the three. Like, those are guys that I think would fit well, and you could get them super cheap.
And he kind of is like a Mike Muscala, because when they brought in Myles Leonard, they expected him to be able to rebound and shoot three, pick and pop, shoot a three. And this guy, and he's 7 foot, Myles Leonard. So to be able to get you a 7 footer that can shoot the three, I believe he can come and fit well. But what's his defense like, though? You have to compete.
I don't think he plays a ton of defense. I don't think either of those guys play a ton of defense. But we're also talking about Boogie. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right, that's right. Different.
But defensive rebounding is defense.
That's true.
That's the last part of execution. You play defense, you get to stop. The last part is what? Getting the rebound. Yeah.
And he's not your ordinary 7 foot. He is a monster 7 foot. Like, he's a big boy. Like, you're not moving him. He's not moving him around. He's getting down there. All right. Well, we'll see. I think Boogie is realistic. I think a lot of people are calling for. I think a lot of people are calling for it. Like Heat Nation wants to see Boogie. Wants to see.
Well, you know, Heat Nation likes big names now. Well, we like big names in Miami. So
yeah,
and I think the weather would be good for him. You know, staying injury free.
Yeah,
It's not cold. It's warm all the time. Yep. You know,
they'll get him in shape.
Beat that.
He's going to get in shape too. He'll probably be in the best shape of his career.
Now that's one thing he's gonna have to adjust if he does come to the Heat.
Right.
Bill Foran with the weight and body fat is no joke.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's no joke.
Unbelievable. All right. So I have two things I want to wrap up with here before. Obviously, we want to do the cold-blooded player of the week. And then there's a quote that I want to ask you about that Spo said about LeBron. That I want to get your perspective on it, because having played with him and winning championships with him. So maybe let's do the cold-blooded player of the week is more about what's happening, and that LeBron thing is more of a perspective thing. Let's do the hashtag cold-blooded player of the week. Now, this is the first time we're doing it. We're workshopping it a little bit, but my thought when I pitched it to you was it can be the best player. It could be a cold-blooded moment. It could be, because obviously every week, you know, you could, if you just do the player, it could get repetitive. So we can sort of mold it into what we want it to be, but we're calling it the hashtag cold-blooded for Norris Cole, cold-blooded player of the week. So Norris, do us the honors. Let's do the first ever cold-blooded Miami Heat player of the week.
So the first ever cold-blooded player of the week, it will be awarded to Kendrick Nunn.
I knew it.
Kendrick Nunn, who's shooting 47% from the field this year and who's shooting 37.9% from three this season, all which are great numbers and career highs for him in his short career, which is better than his numbers last year, which he was a Rookie of the Year candidate. And these last three games, he came up big in the wins. And so for me, his ability to score, his ability to shoot, his ability to play make, his ability to impact winning while playing heavy minutes on a depleted roster is why I give him the cold-blooded player of the week.
I knew it before the show started. I was concerned even when I was putting the show together. I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Kendrick.
He's from the Horizon League, Oakland University. He's a fellow Horizon League player of the year. I'm a fellow Horizon League player of the year. So it's only right. Kendrick,
yeah,
congratulations, my guy.
When I was thinking about, like, who would I give it to, the only other person I even would have even considered was Bam for the way he defended LeBron. But body of work over this last week, Kendrick, it had to be Kendrick.
Oh, man.
It had to be Kendrick. For sure. So, Kendrick Nunn, we know you're listening. Congratulations. First ever cold-blooded player of the week. I think next week we're going to start putting this on video and put this out to the people so people can let us
absolutely
know. Let us know. So, all right, here's what I want to wrap up with. So last week, mm-hmm. when the Heat were playing the Lakers, Spo was asked by the media about the finals and about adjusting in the finals against LeBron. And did you see this quote?
Yep.
So this was the quote.
Let's read it for the people. Let's read it so people can hear.
In the finals, he was making adjustments to our adjustments to the adjustments. And not an adjustment to the adjustment I thought about making, but I bluffed the adjustment and he knew I was making a bluff. Well, I mean, I think I know, like most people know, like LeBron's IQ is incredible, but like,
man, that's the realest thing Spo ever said. That's one of the realest things Spo ever said.
He was still relatively young in the, well, not young in the league. I guess he was in the league for like 7 or 8 years by the time you played with him. But, right. Cause you got there in 2011, right?
Who LeBron?
Yeah. So he was probably in his 7th or 8th year.
LeBron had won 3 MVPs in 4 seasons by the time.
But I'm saying, was it already that? He was already that, like IQ wise, knowing, because there's
always, he's IQ like, always been there from the his IQ has always been there. It's always been there, and it has gotten better, obviously, as the years has gone on. But by the time I was there, when he was already reading defenses, calling out other plays, other sets. The same things that people talk about now, like, man, he was calling out our plays, and then when we tried to throw a fake, he'd say, that's not no real play. He was doing that back then. So, but now it's at an even higher level. Like Spo said, the adjustment to the adjustment of the adjustment. And then the fake adjustment to the adjustment.
Right. He knew, like, I was bluffing an adjustment, and he knew I was bluffing, and he knew I wasn't gonna adjust.
that's called, you know, he's playing chess at a high level.
That's and true. Yeah, everyone else is playing checkers.
Oh my goodness. Or they playing entry level chess. they playing checkers and entry level chess. He's playing, you know, at the senior level.
There's a show on Netflix, Queen's Gambit. Have you watched Queen's Gambit yet? It's all about chess.
No, I haven't.
Playing the closed Sicilian. That's the opening move. And that's how she gets them every time. That's LeBron.
Yeah, well, that's LeBron for sure, because it's so weird. It's so weird when you throw out there a set or a formation of a play, and he's like, that's not no real play. Like, and when he say, and when he says that, and you know that that's the truth, it's like, man, who is this guy?
Let me ask you one. I have another question about LeBron before we wrap. One thing that blew my mind, and I know players lift sometimes on game day, but I was always under the impression, like, you shouldn't like go heavy and like go crazy on game day. When I was with the Grizzlies, when the Heat came to Memphis, I remember walking into our weight room like 4 hours or like 3 hours before a game, and LeBron being in there and just going nuts in the weight room, like just getting like a crazy lift before games. Like, was that normal?
Believe it or not, that wasn't a crazy lift what he was doing. Those are not really crazy lifts. Those are just activation lifts. And it's all about what your body's used to. Some guys do lift heavy before the game and they feel good about it.
Yeah.
Some guys lift right after the game. Some guys lift the day after. And so it's all about what your body's accustomed to. And if you get your body accustomed to working that way, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with it. Because, you know, I have a certain lifting routine that I do before games. I mean, obviously I'm not, you know, trying to bench and squat 300-400 pounds or nothing like that, but you know, you get there early enough to where you'll get a good muscle activation.
Yeah.
You know, you get that blood flow, you get your core, you know, heavily engaged. And when you get out there on the court, you know, your body's ready to go. And this LeBron is the Terminator out there, man.
I think part of it, it's always just stuck to me because that was my first year working in the league. And I had just come from Florida State. Actually, I had just come from the WNBA. So I went from college to the WNBA, and now I'm seeing like a not real human, like a human that doesn't make sense what he's able to do physically. I was just like, what is this?
Yeah. And well, he's not the only one that does it. He's not the only one that does it though. He's not, but the guys that do it, normally they have a lot of range or they're physical. I've seen guards do it, and I've seen big men who don't have to shoot the ball a lot do it as well.
Yeah,
but the guards who do it, that lift, what it does, it makes them, one is a mental thing. You know, you feel no one could take advantage of you, and you also can shoot from a mile away, you know?
Right.
And so, but it's all about what your body's used to. If you're a person who's not used to lifting, or you're used to lifting 1 or 2 days before the game, and you're not used to your arms feeling tight and heavy, I wouldn't suggest it. But LeBron, he has been on the same program for years, so it's like a machine. If he didn't do it, he would feel weird.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. It's like, that's super interesting. All right. Well, we got Heat got a big week coming up, coming off this three-game win streak. The Raptors on Wednesday. And then before the break, I think there's only five or six games left before the break. Not the easiest schedule, but there's an opportunity. They got the Raptors, then Utah, but then back-to-back against Atlanta and then New Orleans. So those are winnable games. The Heat can go into the break, can go into the break on quite a roll. I think 14 and 17 right now with five games left, there's a potential to be a 500 team at All-Star.
I'm hoping I'll be able to. I had to see the next couple games first before I make a prediction. You know, if they play well the first two games, you know, then I'll have more confidence. But right now, it's too. It's too up and down for me to say, yeah, they're going to go into.
I hope they do. You can't make any predictions about this year, but they got a shot. Yep. They got a shot. And
that schedule was very favorable.
Yep, for sure.
But don't sleep on New Orleans, though, because.
No, they're – that talk about up and down. But when they're up,
yeah,
they are
all the way up.
Yeah, they are all the way up. All right, Heat Nation. Well, appreciate everybody listening. Remember, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us out. And we will see you next week. I think next week, Norris, if you're good with it, we'll probably record. The Heat play on Tuesday, so we'll probably record Wednesday so we can react to that game. But until then, Norris, got anything for the people? Take us out.
Heat Nation, let's go, baby. Let's go. See you next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.